The introductory quotes to Science and Health are as follows. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. From John 8. There is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Mary Baker Eddy. This recording will search for the truth about man. That's the first quote. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If one studies the truth, they will get a better and better understanding of knowing it, understanding it, being able to live it and benefit from the rule that John gave us. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The desire is to be free of the limiting belief of life, truth, and intelligence being in matter. This is the primary belief that one needs to work with within their own consciousness, no matter what any particular ailment seems to be presenting itself. By presenting itself refers to what Wentworth Winslow states in his writings. He was a very successful practitioner. He brought a boy back from death, probably healed every single problem that was presented by his patients. He said to think about yourself being in a room with a radio and a telephone. This was about 75 years ago or so. There was no internet. Computers were not available. Television. Those were not available to the public. So he refers to a radio. He says, think of the radio as being something tuned in to station KOG, Kingdom of God, and that it is continuously announcing the facts about God, the qualities. And he said, also consider that there's a phone in the room, and it's ringing its head off. It's just hoping someone is going to answer it so that it can present itself with all of the different problems and hoping you will give a home to the problems. Evil, and anything ungodlike is evil. Disease is any dis-ease. Sin is believing in anything besides what comes from God. Disease is a sin. If you believe in a disease, that's sinful, because the disease did not come from God. God is defined as being good, perfect, spiritual. How could sin or disease come from God? Or how about death? I've heard people say, well, it was the will of God, or it was a providence of God, that the person was killed in an accident or died of some illness. Insurance companies like to refer to tragedies, big storms and that kind of thing, as an act of God. God is good. God is all action. So there's no action from God, and there can't be any action from anything else, because God is all action of reality. So if it's anything unlike God, it has to be a theory, a false representation, an incorrect view of the truth. If we're going to follow the statement by John that says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, then we're not going to know an accident to be true or real. But we also are not going to ignore it. We're going to analyze it, expose it. Get out of the way and let it destroy itself with the truth of being, with the laws of God, with the facts about God. Math has four operators called add, subtract, multiply, and divide. The system of divine metaphysics, which means the systematic way in which to heal, utilizing the facts about Christian Science. It also has four operators called the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. Jesus utilized those. If he would see a blind man or a leper, whatever, he wouldn't say, oh, that's too bad, that man's blind. No. He would see if the man was receptive to the truth. Because the individual has to be receptive. One of the most popular images, paintings, whatever it is, about Jesus is showing him knocking at a door. And it's been interpreted as meaning he's knocking at the door of consciousness of humanity. Are we going to be receptive and let in the Christ consciousness, which is statements about the perfection of God? We cannot be healed unless we're receptive to the truth. John Morgan says about the chapter of prayer in Science and Health, he says, we have to be at the point in our thought that we don't see any other solution. And so we're going to the one infinite, incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, which is God, for a solution. We don't ask God for anything. What we do is we try to get our thought in alignment with what is already the truth, which means that the only substance is spirit. It's not matter. The only mind is the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, immortal mind. It's not an oxymoron termed mortal mind. Oxy means good. Moron means you're a fool. Oxy refers to intelligence. Moron refers to lack of intelligence. So there can't be anything that can be an oxymoron that is real, because they're conflicting terms. Jesus did not think about conflicting terms. He didn't think about this man as sick or diseased or leprous or blind or dead and then try to heal it. If he saw the individual that way, he couldn't heal anything or anyone about anything. He had to see the individual as a perfect man, a perfect girl, in the case of like Tabitha, who was considered dead, or the leprous men, the 10 lepers, or the blind man. He couldn't see them having a problem. He saw them as perfect because he had a perfect model about man in his consciousness continually. But they had to be receptive. They had to be receptive. In the case of Tabitha, there couldn't be negative thoughts that were controlling the situation. In fact, the practitioner that is ruling the ball will want to be in thought with that individual without others around that are interfering and trying to block the truth, whether consciously or unconsciously, voluntary or involuntarily. He wanted to have the atmosphere to be free of conflicting thoughts. He wanted to get rid of all the oxymorons. He wanted to only have the divine mind controlling the situation. We've offered several prayer treatments on the word control. Mary Baker Eddy defines mind as being the only controlling force, the only attractive force, the only power, being omnipotent, the only creative force, the only capacity, capability, functionality, facility, is mind. If one thinks about the possibility of doing something and they're convinced that it's possible to do, their thought has a very powerful influence on the result. Are we going to surround with an atmosphere of negativity and try to be successful in any endeavor? It doesn't matter what it is. It could be the wife of a family, mother of a family, wife of a man, that is managing the home. A very important function, by the way. Imagine what children would be like without a loving, caring, nurturing mother, compared to one that has a loving, nurturing mother that tends to the needs, guides them and directs them and nurtures them. It's like a plant in a garden. Could be any kind of a plant. any kind of a flower or a shrub. Consider a landscape that has everything: trees, flowers, shrubs, grass. If that's all cultivated and nurtured, it's going to be beautiful. If it's going to be neglected, it's going to die and wither away. The difference between a tree that is nurtured and one that is not is big. The difference is big. Think of a house plant or a plant in pots that are outside your entryway. Ones that are nurtured are going to be beautiful. One would be able to tell by just looking at it that it has had care. Think of our consciousness as being our garden. Do we want to nurture it with the qualities of God? Or do we want to let weeds grow and take over the whole atmosphere of our thought? Is our life going to be better if our thought cultivates hate or love? Success or failure? Consideration for others? Or ego and selfishness? Do we think the golden rule is really golden? Or do we think we should try to cheat, lie, and steal? Deprive others of a beautiful atmosphere by trying to spoil it? Do we want our atmosphere to be spoiled by the negative thoughts of others? Selfishness? Do we want them to lie, cheat, and steal when they're dealing with us? Our experience is going to be based on our thoughts. Remember Shakespeare? Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. He says our whole life is a stage. Mary Baker Eddy brings out the importance of forming a perfect model. If one is a sculpturist or a painter, they're going to refer to their model continuously as they're doing their work. Very likely would be a mental model. Or it could be someone that is painting a portrait and they have the individual sitting there. Or whatever position they want them in for the portrait. Our life is what we are manifesting. We're expressing our life. What do we want to be expressing? Are we going to be a lighthouse where our light is shining and needs to shine all the time? We can be a beacon that is worth someone seeing if we cultivate the model mentally and live it. It is an individual choice. Do we want the landscape that we're painting to be beautiful, or the sculpture that we're carving in our thought? and will be the experience in our life? Do we want it to be good? Mary Baker Eddy says, the only power obtainable is the good we embody. It's our choice. Do we want to embody an image of matter, which can be like a sandcastle on the beach? One wave can come along and wipe it out. Or do we want it to be like a symbol of a mountain that is sturdy, built on a strong foundation, perhaps granite? If we want to carve something, are we going to have a diamond point, which is deemed to be a very hard surface, so it'll be a clean cut? Or do we want to cut a board with very large teeth and have all these splinters around the edge, a rough surface? Or do we want it to be sanded and refined and smooth? What kind of a life do we want? What kind of a life do we want to carve as an image of our friends and neighbors, our loved ones? Jesus certainly knew how to carve the right image. It was an automatic translation. When I talked about mathematics having the operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide, I mentioned that the word is the facts about God, and that's the first operator of the system of divine metaphysics. We need to cultivate our understanding of what God is. What are the qualities that God represents? How are the laws of God formulated? What kind of characteristics? What is their nature? Well, we have to know what the elements of God are. Mary Baker Eddy gives us some very definite terms. I'm not aware of any religion besides Christian Science that has been so definite on what God is. Common belief is that Jesus is God. But that's a mistake. That came about as a result of a council meeting in 325 AD, whereby Christianity was so strong that the governments were concerned that their corruption would be revealed and exposed, and people would get a very bad opinion about them. In other words, they would find out the truth, that they weren't really there to serve the people. They were serving their own egotistical, greedy selves. So they had the council meeting to promote what they wanted, what the government wanted. Made up a lot of mistakes in terms of the influence on the public. And what happened? The world experienced the Dark Ages. Dark Ages for 1,500 years, approximately. It wasn't until the printing press came about that people could have a record of truth. They were able to start printing newspapers and magazines and so forth, things that could be promoted among people that were interested in something better than the Dark Ages. And that helped bring about the Renaissance, getting out of the Dark Ages. transitioning into something better. That's when people started being able to read a Bible instead of having manuscripts and things hidden by the church where they could select what they wanted people to know. The printing press blew their limitation out of the water. It's like the censoring that's going on right now on the internet. The corrupt governments and people try to hide the truth by censoring people. They have formulas and algorithms and so forth that automatically suppress things that they don't want to have known or delete them. You do a search for something with a corrupt search engine, it won't come up with the truth. We have the most uncensored search engine that we are aware of, and we have it promoted on our website, yandex.com. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We can't know the truth if the truth is being censored, deleted from our access to it. Lie, cheat, and steal. Those are qualities, or absence of qualities. I like to think of a quality as something that is good. But really, the word quality is taken a very wide definition. It could be bad quality or excellent. I like to think of quality as a word that can only be used with an adjective that is very positive. So no matter what kind of an ailment that we want to solve, dissolve, eradicate, if we study about man, that is one very good way to approach it. What is man? Can man be subject to this problem? Genesis 1 states that God made man in his image and likeness. And at the end of the first chapter of Genesis, up through the third verse of chapter 2, it says, and everything that he made was good. Everything God made was good. And throughout the Bible, there's a number of references that say that God is all that is real. God is all. All in all. The first all being capitalized, meaning source, and the second one being lowercase, meaning manifestation. The first verse of Genesis 1 says, in the beginning. Mary Baker Eddy explains that to mean in the only. In other words, there is no time, and the only thing that exists is what it describes in Genesis chapter 1, where everything is good and perfect. Jesus was not many able to make, you know, bring about many healings in Galilee, where he was born, where he became visible to humanity. Because they didn't believe him. They didn't have confidence in him. They looked at him as being a boy or a carpenter. So we need to have a receptive thought if there's going to be success, whether we're talking about ourselves or whether we're trying to be a positive influence on someone else. We need to take the path that is less traveled. And the resistance is the wide path, resistance to truth. Mary Baker Eddy thought when she discovered Christian Science that she had found a panacea that would bless everyone. But the church has rejected it. Why? Because truth is rejected by error. Good is rejected by bad. Perfection is rejected by imperfection. The human mind itself does not want to accept that it is wrong. If it has believed something because it's been pounded into it year after year, Mary Baker Eddy calls it lie upon lie, it will only accept change very slowly. It's called awakening. And the awakening process is very long and laborious. It's easier to trick the human mind than it is to change it. But our duty is to change it, to purify, to replace the error with the truth. We don't try to fix 2 + 3 = 5 when we call it 6 or 4. No, we get rid of it. We throw it out the window. We've learned 2 + 3 = 5. 4 + 6 = 10. We don't accept anything else. The same with the system of divine metaphysics. Mary Baker Eddy states on page 146, line 31, that divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. Remember, disease means anything that is a dis-ease, any discord, anything out of balance. We don't want that wall to be 89 degrees perpendicular to the surface, the floor, unless it's designed to be that way. But if it's supposed to be straight and hold up a tall structure, it better not be off a single decimal of a degree. Because if you extend that up a long distance, a height, along, you know, a great height, it's going to collapse. Our success in healing any problem is going to collapse if we don't know the truth. It can't be 90% true. It's got to be 100% true. They talk about gold being 99% pure, because it needs to have a certain kind of other metal in there as an alloy. Well, we can't be concerned about an alloy. We don't want anything that dilutes the truth. Does not matter what the problem is. One of the things we must work on and getting a better understanding of is what is stated in that scientific statement of being, that there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. We could substitute the ailment. Someone has a broken arm, or someone else that we're trying to help has a broken arm. There's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in a broken arm. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all, not a broken arm. A broken arm is a false belief. It's a belief that God is not perfect, that God's manifestation is not perfect. We can't believe a material man is the reality. We must cultivate the truth that man is spiritual. Frederick L. Rawson, that was mentioned, he wrote a book, Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, and in it he has a couple hundred pages that lists about 1,315 ailments, and he gives the counterfact to each one, what to work on to heal it. We don't focus on the problem. We deny that the problem can be real, and then we explain the reason why by giving the counterfact that is based on spirit as the foundation of substance instead of matter. It doesn't matter what the problem appears to be. It's been healed before. We have the last chapter of the textbook of science and health, 100 pages, from page 600 to 700, which are healings of everything you can imagine. There are 85 different people that have given, I think it's 485 or something like that, healings that they experienced themselves without any outside help. They read Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. That was their primary source. And of course, the companion book is the Bible. Bible and Science and Health together. Because science and health explains, it spiritually interprets the Bible. It will help you get a much better understanding of the Bible. The full definition of God on page 465 by Mary Baker Eddy in the textbook, is that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And the operators, I didn't finish, but they are the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. I mentioned the Word is the facts about God. The Christ is the translation or interpretation of whatever comes our way, and we must convert it to the real spiritual fact. Mary Baker Eddy wrote a letter to a student that was seeking assistance on healing a vision problem, and she says, "Are you able to focus no matter what comes your way?" In other words, we need to focus on spirit. We need to focus on the truth in order to be free of the vision problem. That's what the Christ is. It is being able to focus on the truth no matter what kind of distraction or interference tries to tell us something different. Christianity is demonstrating the truth. In other words, you know the facts about God better when you study the Word. The Bible is considered the Word of God. And then when you translate whatever is the problem into the spiritual reality of man instead of believing to be true the problem that seems to be presenting itself. Remember, a problem will present itself, but we don't have to accept it. We don't have to accept it. We can reject it. Do not comply. Do not comply with what mortal mind or error or evil wants to promote. Only comply with the truth. So demonstrating it is utilizing that kind of a concept. And what Shakespeare said, nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We want to think spiritual thoughts instead of problems and disease and sin, death, discord. Well, that's what demonstrating is all about. It's doing those things. It could be very helpful to look in the book that Mr. Rawson wrote about the applied treatments. And if you've got a particular problem that you're trying to solve, look it up in that book. It's an alphabetical list, 1,315 different items. Look it up. We have it all on the website. And it explains what the truth is about the real nature of man. And that's what you want to focus on. And the fourth one is science. Science means that you are automatically interpreting and translating because you have already been able to prove the truth about man. So you have been set free. There is not a single problem that anyone can have or appear to have that has not already been healed by someone. It's already been proven that it can be healed. Jesus didn't have that benefit. The New Testament was written as a result of Jesus. So we have a great advantage. In fact, that's probably why Jesus said, "Greater works than these will you do." He expected us to do greater works than he did. Because we have his example. I believe that's what that means. We can be inspired by reading about the healings that he brought about. We have a list of those on the website, along with those 486 that are documented in the textbook. The authors that are on our website also have documented healings. Everything anyone could imagine could be a problem has been healed through the application of Christian Science. I mentioned Mr. Rawson previously. He was gazing out a window with a friend, Christian Science friend, Mr. Spalding, who's actually the one that reported this instance. This was back early 1900s, probably around 1900 to 1910 time frame somewhere. So there weren't very many trucks, and people were still using animals with carts and wagons pulled by the animals. And this man that was driving the cart, it was a two-wheel cart, and he stopped the animal and got out, and he went back to examine something on the tailgate. And the animal got alarmed by something while he was back there, and it raised up and dumped the whole load of rocks on the man. Mr. Rawson observed this, as did Mr. Spalding, but Rawson came to the task, and he had many, many healings. And he said five words. There is nothing but God. Nothing, nothing but God. It's always said, five words. And with that, the man rocketed out from underneath the pile of rocks and covered him up, totally unscratched. Probably would have been dead if Mr. Rawson hadn't been there or looking out and seeing the circumstance and bringing about the healing. Mr. Rawson also discovered retroactive healing so that the treatment could be taking effect prior to him being notified that the person was looking for assistance. He did that over 500 times, 500 different healings on a retroactive basis, where he was able to prove and demonstrate that there is no reality in time. Mary Baker Eddy quotes the Bible, and she says, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. She says, don't try to conquer the world in one day. Just a little at a time. Here a little, there a little. If we do a little each day, we will have wonderful results. Einstein said, every day, try to learn a little bit more about the holy. Einstein also said, blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book. He was referring to Science and Health with Key to the Scripture by Mary Baker Eddy. And when he said, blessed art thou, he was referring to Mary Baker Eddy. He had a friend that was healed through Christian Science that was working on the Atomic Energy Commission. Everyone except his friend, Dr. Underwood, passed on as a result of the radiation. Dr. Underwood survived. That really piqued the interest of Einstein in studying. He had already been introduced to Christian Science, but when he saw a result with a friend and everyone else was killed from the radiation, that really got his attention, and he studied seriously, attended church, went to the reading rooms to study the textbook and other books. Yeah, people think maybe he was not religious. They don't know him. Step at a time. Ellen Wright wrote a book called Your Divinity Revealed. And in it, she has a chapter on each of the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, which is really the total components of God. It's recommended that one study that continuously. In other words, a little each day. And when they get done with those chapters, in fact, even the entire book, which includes more chapters, go back and start over at the beginning. The same with the textbook, Science and Health. One should start at the beginning and study it all the way through from beginning to end. When they get done, go back and do it again. You will see your life has been transformed from whatever, wherever it is now, whatever status you are in, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, relationship-wise, with your business, profession, whatever it is, it will be better as you continuously read and study the textbook. It's also a good idea to state that the truth in every prayer treatment is effective. It can't be diluted. It can't be diverted. It can't be deflected. It can't be interfered with. It can't be stopped. And it can't be reversed. The truth is always true. And the truth in this prayer treatment has the power of God behind it. Because God is truth. God is in control. God is the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, light, truth, and love. And as it states in Genesis chapter 1, man is made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, the capacity, capability, functionality for man is from God, and therefore there's no limit. And man has all the capacity and capability and functionality that he needs to meet every situation. God is all in all, and this treatment is effective. Amen.